The Gospel according to Luke, chapter
22. 54. And let us read to verse number 63.
Then took they him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Let us bow down and unite our hearts in prayer and praise to the Lord. Heavenly Father, the heavenly angels praise Thee. The glory and majesty of Thy name fills the heavenly kingdom. How shall then we, as weak and as small as we are, praise Thy holy name as Thou art worthy to be praised, O Lord? Many prayers, thanksgiving, and tears of those that did hear answer to Thy calling, and even more the prayer of Thy holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, ascended up to Thee, O Lord, and we now are praying also, knowing that we are not worthy to be compared, not worthy to stand in the same line, and to be accounted into the same number with all those that followed the Savior so closely that even their own blood was shed for the testimony of this holy truth that Thou hast sent to us in Christ our Redeemer. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou hast said in the law to the children of Israel that if someone be poor and not able to offer the great sacrifice, that they should bring two turtle doves or two pigeons, and even that offering will be accepted. O Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, we come to Thee with a humble heart, acknowledging that we should be more humble before Thee. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that as Thou wast leading, guiding, illuminating and protecting our souls this morning or today, giving us such a wonderful message of measureless grace and mercy that has no comparison, that Thou, O Heavenly Father, now also inspire our weak and poor hearts to pray and to praise Thee. O let Thy Spirit guide us, and goodness and grace multiplied be to us, to Christ, our blessed Redeemer, as we are now kneeling down, O Lord, desiring to be meek and lowly before Thee. May every feeling of our hearts, every word of our prayer, every thought of sharing Thy holy word, and the praises and hymns that we offer this afternoon, O Lord, may all of that come from Thee as the message of Thy Spirit dwelling in our souls, and so as Thine own be offered unto Thee, O Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, help us Thou to learn this important truth that Thou hast presented to us in this Gospel, the message of Christ. Help us to understand that revelation, O Lord, that not even a stone upon a stone will be left that will not be destroyed, of the greatest and the most impressive achievements of humanity. Teach us Thou, O Heavenly Father, and impress that Thou deeply upon our hearts. May Thy truth be the light illuminating our minds, that we may ever know that the true value and lasting value of all that Thou hast given to us, all the temporary blessings that will not last forever, have that great and lasting value only as much as we use them for Thy name's honor and glory. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray Thou grant us a heart filled with Thy love. May that love of Thine in our hearts be like the flame of thy zeal, thy purity, thy holiness, thy goodness and grace. May our whole being be offered as a burnt sacrifice upon that altar of the holy faith, so that this body of ours, this temple of thy spirit, O Lord, may be burnt up, and the fragrance of the deepest gratitude for all that thou hast done for us, O Lord, and the fragrance of the highest reverence, O, may it be over us ascending to the throne on high, where our great high priest is interceding for us, that we may give all, that all that we have be thine, and so we also to be thine forever. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, may our faith never waver. Thou, Lord God, remove all doubts and fears, and thou grant us, Lord God Almighty, that endurance that thou hast given, that thou hast added to the faith of our father Abraham, not to build cities and great buildings upon this earth, but to look toward that great and holy city, the city whose creator and author art thou, our Heavenly Father. Gracious Lord, thou grant and add to our faith that kind of an endurance that thou hast presented to us in the story of Lazarus, the poor, sick, naked, and hungry, dying man. O Lord God Almighty, that is our desire and our prayer, that when our days are ended here, Holy Father, thy holy angels may take our soul and carry us into the bosom of eternal love, to see the source of all blessings, and to join the blessed throng in glorifying thy glorious name. Gracious Lord, God, our Heavenly Father, in the sadness of this life, may there be no other wound in our heart, but the wounds of Christ our Lord, from where that purifying stream is streaming down to make our souls, O Lord, even our souls, pure and holy. May we never forget, O Father, that in spite of our weaknesses, thy grace is perfectly revealed, thy grace continually strengthening, lifting up, and renewing our souls in thy grace again, O Lord. Grant us that same goodness and mercy, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, to extend to all the others. And, O Lord God, may our life and living be a continual invitation to every soul around us, and even to those that are far away, to come to the fountain of love, to come to the true shepherd of our souls, and to find that wonderful and glorious peace that never can be found in the world, that no gold nor silver can buy. The peace that thou alone art giving in Christ, our Lord and Savior. We also pray, O Lord, that that peace of thine may continually be in our hearts. May that peace of thine be growing and fill our souls so much to the overflowing that we also become peace lovers and peacemakers upon the face of this earth. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thou lead us and thou teach us. Thou fill us. And thou use us in thy ministry. May thy blessed word be multiplied by thy blessings, and may thy invitation sound forth. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, let no soul be too late. While the day of grace is going on, while the door of mercy is open, while the way of salvation is still illuminated by thy truth that thou art revealing. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in this great controversy that started so long ago and still going on, in this great battle of truth against lie, the battle of light against darkness, the battle, O Heavenly Father, of thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, against the father of lies and the prince of darkness. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, thou defeat the enemy, thou exalt the name of Christ, thou glorify thy holy name, now and forever after, in that glorious and blessed eternity. Amen. In our second reading, dearly beloved, let us continue on the verse number 63, this same chapter 22, Gospel according to St. Luke, and let us read to the end of this chapter.
And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face, and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? and many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together, and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe, and if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth.
In my limited understanding, and with the help of our Heavenly Father, I thought it wouldn't be of any damage to us as we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the path of his suffering, to stop for a moment and look at someone who is by nature and in character much closer to us, just another man. We remember once when our Lord and Savior asked his disciples, who say the man that the Son of Man is? In other words, what are the people talking about me, Jesus? And then they said that some people think that thou art one of the prophets, and the others think this or that. And then the Lord asked them, his disciples, What do ye say that I am? What is your belief? So far, what have you learned? What is your standing? Who am I? Who is that Son of Man? And then Peter answered, Thou art Christ, the Son of the Most High, the Son of the Living God. And the Lord Jesus Christ answered to Peter, Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood have not told thee this truth, but my Father which is in heaven. Now those that believe that no one can be led nor guided by the Spirit of God, but those that are sealed with the Spirit of the Lord, might be wondering about this. The disciples so far did not understand nor experience the power of that Spirit from on high. They listened to the Word of God, and our Lord and Savior was their teacher, and they knew him as the Son of Man. They knew him as the Messiah, and as such, they knew or believed that he really is the Son of God. Yet, they did not in all probability understand what does that mean to be the Son of God, the only one, not one of the sons of God, not like one of those that we read about in the book of Job, that the sons of God were gathered before God and Satan came and joined them, but the only begotten of God, the one about whom their first teacher, the first teacher of these same disciples was teaching, which is John the Baptist, was teaching that this is the Lamb of God, and of whom the Father did testify, saying, This is my beloved Son. So far they seemed not to be up to that level of understanding, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten that came from the bosom of the Father, the one that is one with the Father. How did the Father get the message to the heart and mind of Peter, to say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? The Lord Jesus himself said, The words that I speak unto you are the Spirit and the truth. So often we can see that the Spirit of the Lord is influencing, guiding, even protecting those that are on the path from the wilderness toward the Red Sea. As the Apostle Paul explained in one of his epistles, that our fathers all were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Yes, in those days they were fearful, unstable, and often making steps in the wrong direction, and they had wrong intentions. And yet, as long as they were willing to accept correction, as long as they were willing to hear and obey the voice of the Lord protected and preserved them. But when they continually turned against the Lord, they had to leave their bones scattered in the wilderness. They could not carry their disobedience into the promised land. Being just another weak man, just another man like Peter, I imagine, beloved, that Peter did appreciate that testimony of the Lord, saying to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon, for this message came to thee from my heavenly Father." Not very long after that, the Lord is telling to his disciples that in a short while, he, the Lord, is going to surrender into the hands of the wicked men, and they will torture him and murder him. But on the third day, he is going to rise. And then Peter, in his zeal, rebuked the master. You see, as a man, Peter felt, perhaps, that he has a right to do that. How just recently, he, Peter, proclaimed a message from the Father. So he's trying again. But this time, someone else is trying to somehow smuggle in a message that is not from the Father. And that someone that is continually trying to cause a damage among the disciples of the Lord, to create confusion and to misguide in one of the wrong directions, or should we say, in the only wrong direction, away from the Lord, to follow the deceiver. This time, the enemy used human feelings, the feelings of human faithfulness and loyalty, loyalty that Peter had for his master. And so Peter said, "God forbid, that will never happen. That will never be so with thee." And the Lord turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not what is of God, but what is earthly." It must have been a shock. It must have been a slap across the face of the pride that Peter might have had just a moment before. The Lord is telling his disciples that night in Gethsemane what is going to happen. The disciples are getting ready, and the more are they anticipating the next moment that is going to be a great drama, a great distress in their life, the more they are preparing, the more unprepared they are. Perhaps like a man believing that something terrible is going to happen, and the closer he is coming to that moment in his life, he is actually making that moment terrible for himself. Fear is often the opposite of faith. Fear is often false religion. Fear is actually saying or telling to ourselves and to the others that God is not able to do what is pleasing to him. If he's going to fail, then we are going to fail too. Fear is often a great deception, again, used by the enemy. As Judas approached the Lord and greeted him with a kiss, as a sign to the mob that came from the priests and scribes and all the so-called leaders in Jerusalem, the Lord answered to Judas, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when the disciples saw what would follow, they said unto the Lord, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" And one of them did exactly that, but somehow missed the major part and cut off only an ear of the man. And the Lord Jesus answered again to Peter, "Suffer ye thus far." He touched the ear of the injured man and healed him. Again, Peter was confused. He wanted to keep his promise, but his promise was not sealed by the word of God. The word of God does not teach us that we are going to defend Christ, but that he is going to defend us. We are not going to protect him. He is going to protect us. In his ignorance, Peter wanted to reverse the spiritual battle. Peter was in his weakness and confusion. He actually was on the other side. How sad. He didn't realize that until he went out of the palace. Then the Lord is talking to the mob. "Be come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and this is the hour of darkness." I believe, beloved, that our Lord spake these words calmly, peacefully. There was no confusion nor dismay in his voice, but that did not encourage his disciples, not at that moment. Then the mob, seeing that the Lord is not offering any resistance, that he is actually allowing them to arrest him, they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. It was not easy, beloved, very difficult. It was night. And being afar off, Peter was groping in darkness, just like anyone that is following the Lord afar off. And when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, we can see here that their palaces, their public buildings, their most luxurious places were quite different than the buildings that we know nowadays. There was an open fire in the midst of the hall where they were gathered. Peter sat down among them. Probably the others were sitting around the fire. And Peter did not want to stand up and stick out and be recognized as a stranger in their group. So he sat down among them. Whenever a disciple of the Lord is trying to be similar to the enemies of the gospel, he is in a very dangerous situation. And the enemy is not going to miss that moment. The enemy is going to attack. A certain maid, a woman, beheld him as he sat by the fire. Well, there were the others. The same woman could have seen all the others. But somehow she focused on Peter and earnestly looked upon him. She probably came very close and looked at the face of Peter and said, "This man was also with him." At that moment, this woman perhaps pointed to the spot where our Lord Jesus was being tortured by this mob. And Peter, being insecure, being uncertain, confused, and at this moment placed on the spot, Peter instantly denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not." That was nonsense altogether. They all knew him, and there would be just one among all of them that did not even know whom this woman is talking about. Well, after a little while, another person saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I'm not." When a disciple denied the Lord once, there is much less power and strength left in the heart of that person to resist the second and third denial. Any one of us, if we do not endure in the battle, we don't gain. We lose, we gain the strength. And about the space of 1 hour after, another person confidently affirmed, saying, "Oh, the truth, this one also was with him," probably talking not very loudly or talking softly to the others around him. This person, pointing toward Peter, said, "Truly, this man is also one of his disciples. Look, he is Galilean." Something was in Peter's appearance or in his accent that revealed clearly to these people that Peter must be one of the disciples. Now that was very difficult for Peter. When Peter rushed out, the Lord peacefully, patiently accepted the torture that he was tortured by the mob around him. Perhaps Peter would like to jump and use the sword again, and perhaps even die with the Lord, but not that peacefully suffering, but battling. It might have been easier for this fisher of Galilee to die a humanly speaking heroic death, but just to stand still and be so humiliated, so despised, so tortured. That was not in the nature of this man. Being accused for the third time that he is a disciple of the Lord, Peter said, "I know not what thou sayest." What he perhaps wanted to say to this man, that it doesn't make any sense. It's impossible. He cannot be a disciple of the Lord. Yeah, there was some truth in that. He cannot be a disciple of the Lord, not denying the Lord all the time. And immediately, while he had spake, the cock crew. Oh, that sound in Peter's ears, from a distance. What happened? Perhaps Peter turned to the Lord. For we read here that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That look, from the eyes of one that is suffering, to the one that promised that he is ready to live and die with him. And Peter, that brave Peter, that strong man that is used to the difficulties of the life of a fisherman, the man that already more than 3 years was following this Lord Jesus Christ, he crumbled. He remembered the word of the Lord. How the Lord said to Peter before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." Three times. And for a moment we saw that seen. It's like a prophecy. It's like a great story. The suffering Lord looking at the disciple that denied him three times, and the crowd, the mob around both of them. And that moment for Peter, one part of his life was finished. Peter was not in existence anymore. He died. Verse number 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Perhaps everyone that knows the goodness and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, perhaps everyone that experienced the deliverance from the power of darkness, can recall a moment in his own or her own life when the man, the only one that was the center of my life, the only one that I would do just about anything for, the only one that I desire to see prospering and being better and greater than anyone else, that big tower of human desires and human pride, human self-confidence, human wisdom and understanding, human achievements and self-gratification, that big tower, that big impressive building, just crumbled awfully as a house that was built upon the sand in a terrible storm did crumble. And so Peter is outside there, and he's weeping bitterly. There was another disciple. He's somewhere in the palace, and he's watching everything. He's very quiet. No one is going to notice him. Perhaps he did not sit down around the fire. Perhaps he was hiding in a corner from which he might have been able to see everything and yet not to be seen. He is a young man. He is following the Lord, but almost invisible. The time for his testimony has not come yet. He is following the Lord and gathering that very enormously important teaching. How shall the Lamb of God suffer for the salvation of sinners? Is Peter lost? No. Peter was a disciple of John the Baptist, a great teacher. Among those that were teaching on earth, teaching the truth, proclaiming the word of God, none was greater than John the Baptist. And Peter was John's disciple. And then the greatest one came, whose wisdom far exceeds the wisdom of Solomon, whose teaching in its simplicity, in its power, in its wisdom and strength, revealed to all those that ever received this understanding that that truly is the word of God. And Peter was his disciple for more than 3 years. And now Peter denied that discipleship. He denied his teacher before the world around him.